This episode of the Disc Golf Podcast is brought to you by OTBDiscs.com. Only the Best Discs has a huge selection with high-quality pictures of each disc, actual disc weights, flatness, and stiffness listed. Did I mention fast shipping? Get it free on your next order at OTBDiscs.com using promo code DGPODCAST. What's up, disc golfers? Welcome to episode 248 of the Disc Golf Podcast. My name is Robin. Alongside me, my longtime friend, avid disc golfer, Joe. Woo!
Sorry, it's gonna be real loud. I'm trying to pump myself up.
Ow.
I know, I'm sorry. You don't have headphones on, so that's a plus.
I wasn't looking at the... No, I mean, I would have been better if I did have headphones on. Like,
no, that wouldn't have been.
Yeah, it well, like...
I mean, maybe
protective ones,
but probably not. Well, that's how it works.
I think that was a really bad audio spike.
I'm just trying to. I'm sure it is, and I apologize, but I don't. But I do. I mostly do. I'm just trying to pump myself up a little bit. It's been a long week, not in a bad way, just lots of stuff. And Robin totally redid the Shedio, and it looks awesome. It's fantastic in here, but by doing so. He put in, they're called nugget. What's the, are like, is there a plural? Is it a, they're like cool, like tumbling pads of multiple shapes for kids to like explore on and have fun and not get hurt. And I am sitting on basically a makeshift, young child's couch, and it's super comfortable, but it also makes me tired. So... I'm just trying to hype myself up for a podcast that y'all deserve because I love you all. And I think it's working. I'm feeling pretty good. The lights are brighter in here. Robin did like an insane amount of work in here. I'm about it. I just, you know, I needed something to get me going. I'll be totally honest. If you've been following pre-shows for a while and we've talked about a little bit in main shows, somehow I think we kind of ruined the market of smelling salts. Like you just can't find them the way we could before. I think maybe too many people were like, oh yeah, let's buy those. And I can't buy them anymore. So we don't got those. So I figured maybe, a crazy woo would, get us rolling. Goodness.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. You know,
I'm legit speechless, and I would like you to continue on your...
I could 100% right now. You could keep talking, and I could just lay down here and just go to sleep.
I can see that.
It's a blessing and a curse.
I mean, you could go back to sitting on the regular chair that you have if you want, if you think
I might have to. Honestly, I might have to. And it's not a bad chair. It's like a nice chair with like a little pillow on. It's fine. But like 25 minutes into sitting in it, like my ass starts to hurt. And I'm like, this is uncomfortable.
So wouldn't you rather sit on this nice pad?
I would 100%, but I think for the podcast, I may need to shift to that chair just to keep my wits about
Got
me.
Got it.
I figured I don't want to doze off in the middle of the podcast.
If I had to guess where you were going to go with the early intro tangent, I would have picked football. Because it's football season. We just watched a football game.
Yeah, that game was inconsequential to... 95% of football fans / fantasy owners.
I mean, big Terry McLaurin, you know, did some stuff.
Yes, he did. So that's one out of how many players?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. And
those people that started Taylor Heineke in their triple super flex
yeah,
leagues.
Right. they're super flex best ball leagues. Yeah. Like, good for you.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll see. We'll see once the season keeps going. Or
there
the
was some
week keeps going.
There were some real super flex implications there with Daniel Jones and Taylor Heineke getting after it.
Daniel Jones might be real, but let's not. This isn't pre-show, so I don't want to dive super deep into the fantasy football.
I mean, I could get you like another layer of pillows back there and like you could just really get after it. It just think of it like you got your own little hookah lounge over there. Like you got the tub that's full of Legos.
That's for real. Like kind of how have you told your father-in-law about that? Has he sat here? Is that where that came from?
No.
Because I guarantee if you owned a hookah.
I'm sure he does.
Fucking tea, your father-in-law would be so pumped.
Probably.
He would just live in your shedio.
So this is the Disc Golf Podcast.
We were talking about disc golf.
We talk about disc golf on a regular basis. And we've got a great show for you guys tonight. We're going to recap the Green Mountain Championships. And we're going to talk about the Disc Golf Pro Tour match play event, the culmination of the Disc Golf Pro Tour, which starts this morning for those of you listening. And
oh, yep.
You know, tomorrow for us right now. Then we'll do our world famous deer review, our disc and beer pairing, where we take a disc, we take a beer, we review them both and let you know whether you should bring it on the course. Tonight we have the Streamline Drift in Neutron Plastic, 7-speed, 5-glide, -1, -2 turn, apologies, 1 fade, and we're pairing that with Zombie Dust by Three Floyds Brewing Company, a 6.5% pale ale sent to us by Christopher Eplin. This is 2 episodes in a row. C-Ep is just providing the content. So
it's a split deer review, a disc 1 week and a beer the next.
Yeah, that's got to be a record.
And he's worthy of it.
And here's the problem. He sent more beer than this, so this could be like a recurring thing going forward.
This could be, but I will also say, and I know he knows us well, and we love him. Chris, you understand there's a very good chance we're just going to drink all these other beers before we can review them.
I think we have to review
at least one more.
One more.
At least one more.
Yeah.
So know that, and I guess that's a good thing to point out. If you send us beer, one, thank you so much. That is so rad. We love it. It's so cool. Like, actually, I'll be totally honest. Like,
this was a great beer week. Sorry to interrupt. We also got a box of beer from Jeremiah Davis, and I haven't even opened it. I know that it's not leaking, so I know they're safe. So thank you.
We've got more beer.
Sorry, I said Jeremiah. Jeremy.
Jerry, we also have more beer on the way, but we'll get there later when it gets here.
Yeah.
But when you send multiple beers, we love that. And actually, please keep doing that. But no, we're quesadilla guys. And we will most likely, if you send 2 beers or more, we will most likely talk about one in the pre-show, do one in the main show, and probably just drink the rest throughout said show or the next show, because
speaking of which, we are in
beer
unprecedented territory right now, which is that we are doing the main show first and we're going to do an after show for our Patreon subscribers. So
yeah,
we'll see how that goes.
With that said, something else to note real quick, I'm just gonna jump in and just get after it right now. Robin's got a baby like impending, like
imminent.
Imminent. That's what I meant.
Impending.
Sorry.
Impending,
I meant imminent. I had a beverage or two. Shh, don't tell anyone. If you are a longtime listener, this is not the first time we've talked about emergency shows or Robin having a baby, because it's happened a whole bunch before.
This is
most likely, like not for sure at this point, but most likely the last time. Maybe you should knock on that wood behind you in that windowsill.
Nah.
Oh, you're okay. All right. Most likely the last time we will have some filler episode stuff, but the beautiful world we live in now, sorry, Patreon friends, we love you, is that we have hundreds, not plural hundreds, but over 100 pre-show episodes that we can cull through and figure out great ones to release to y'all. So there is a chance we'll miss a live pre-show, or not pre-show, post-show, main show coming up soon. Wow. Uh-oh. This is going to be a good one. But we'll give you a great pre-show from the past to satiate your needs.
Yes. Yes. And
yeah, where do we go from?
If you're just looking to be satiated right now, you could just join right now and it'd be fine. Patreon.com/thediscgolfpodcast.
They're all there. Like lots of them.
Yeah. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. Anyway, disc golf.
Disc golf.
I was saying in last week's episode how much I love this kind of turn in the disc golf touring schedule, which is MVP Open, Green Mountain Championship. I just like the courses. I like how green they are. I like the woodedness. I like the awesome throws you get to see. And like Green Mountain Championship, you get to see bombs and it's so much fun. And yet there's still some technicality to it. So Green Mountain Championship. What was your main takeaway from this one?
There are two fantastic courses that they play.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and like exactly what you said, like there's wooded and bombs, but even on some of the bombs, like you still have to fight through weird things. This is shot shaping paradise for a disc golfer like myself. Gosh, I think I would love it so much and hate it so much all at the same time. There's so many holes that it's easy to take an 11 on. But just finding the right gap works well. And for amateur players or intermediate, advanced even, hitting the gaps is unreal. So, like, I watched a ton of the, like, Jomez, like, lead up, the Skins matches. Great courses, but the top of the top, it's still so rough. Like, or amazing. It's like if you just find those inches, you will do great things. I guess it's more like a scrambler's paradise.
Yeah, yeah. So we have Brewster Ridge and then Fox Run Meadows are the two courses out there for this tournament, and both of them provide all kinds of challenges. You have OB to deal with, you have water to deal with, you have woods, and it's just such an amazing setting, and I just really enjoy it overall. The challenge that's provided to the players, and then just the overall camera appeal. I think that's part of it for me. Like, it just looks great on camera the entire time, and I'm a sucker for that. I realize that, like, having not played these courses and not understanding it, but the pros seem to be, you know, pretty cool with it as well. So I feel like it's, you know, mostly okay.
I think
like loving this course, having never been there and not ever played it and anything like that, but it just, like, it passes the eye test and it provides good drama, and I like both of them. And just piggybacking on the MVP Open, you know, out there at Maple Hill, it's just a great stretch of courses for the Disc Golf Pro Tour. And I like it being like coming down that stretch, having these awesome courses, and then we go into match play, which is something we don't see for the rest of the year in any other case. This is the only time we see, you know, true, like, this is big money match play. We don't have that anywhere, any other time of the year. So,
right. I think we're fun. Also slightly broken right now. We're in a world where if you listen to the first, like, 3 years of our podcast, we always talked about where we play this distinct green season and brown season. We had multiple months. You know, half the year was amazing rain and green grass and like this beautiful world where it's the best time ever to play in California.
Are you saying that we just miss green places and we like seeing it right now?
I'm not saying that's all of it, but I'm definitely saying it's part of it.
Yeah.
I definitely am saying it's part of it. What is your favorite memories ever of playing on the course that we play?
Probably like nice green season throws where it's just like the weather is mild and the grass is green and the disc isn't going to roll down the hill because it's crazy hard pan. And, you know, it's just, you see that and you're like, you know, right now,
our beautiful mountains and you just see green, like.
Like, we go to one of our courses and it's like fucking Mars out there sometimes.
Dude, it's so bad.
Like, a bunch so of rocks bad. And like hard pan dirt because it hasn't rained in 3 years. Like, I see this right now.
You spike hyzer under the basket in a hillside and it rolls out of bounds because it's all hard and gross.
This is basically disc golf porn. Like, just looking at it.
Yes.
And then.
Exactly. That's my point.
You go outside and you look and you're like, oh, extreme drought, fires, rocks.
Yep.
There was a time when we were proud of our California disc golf courses.
Oh my gosh, especially green season. Like, I'm telling you, go back early podcasts, like, we're like, oh, it's green season. Life is amazing. Yeah. Like,
welcome to the
Shire. You can't ever play disc golf like we do. We got crazy hills, we got crazy elevation. It's so rad. Check it out. Like, it's beautiful. And now it's like desolate.
Yeah.
Everyone's sad.
It's like, that's where Bilbo Baggins used to live.
I can't throw spike hyzers in the hillside anymore because it's not going to stick. Like, like, we talk about green, like, being tombstone country, like, just tombstone next to the basket because it's wet and you just pop it in next to the basket, muddy.
Listen, we're Captain America couldn't tombstone his shield in California right now.
Truth.
It just.
That vibranium won't stick.
No. Not a chance.
Nerd up.
It's just pure hard pan everywhere right now.
Regardless, let's take a step back. Those courses are amazing.
Yes.
But I think the luscious green and non-drought factor is pretty amazing for our eyes to understand and love.
Agreed.
But then
we're longing for it.
Well, here's the thing too. Those woods, let's go. Let's keep that California versus others going too. There's tons of tiny little skinny whammy trees, but there's a lot of them and it's hard to get through. Whereas the majority of the trees where we live are big, thick monsters.
It's not just that. It's that we have live oaks, which are like really, really thick trees. And like you could throw a full speed drive straight into one and it's not going to pass through. It's just going to catch. And it's not even a catch on the inside. It'll catch in the first like 18 inches of the foliage and just stay there.
Right.
Because these things are so vicious. And
watch these courses, it's like, oh, I hit early, but it's fine. We fought through and blah, blah. It's like, you don't fight through where we are.
I've always thought it was super hilarious that California is like the purveyor of the 2 meter rule, whereas our trees are the biggest jerks in the world in terms of like
1,000,000,000%
trying to go over the top and get a disc to like fall through one of these trees. They're like the worst possible trees to try and do that with. Like, why did we need a rule make that harder?
We don't.
It's nuts. But we got a lot of
Can stuff. We recall the 2 meter rule? Oh, sorry. Sorry.
Well, given the recent climate, that would probably fail horribly. But, you know, I think we should consider it.
Sorry, I couldn't.
Wow. Thanks, Joe.
Oh, I can't. I want to like.
Sounds like you didn't have your dose of horse medicine today,
or too many doses of horse medicine today. Oh.
Anyway, back to the Green Mountain Championship. This was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. It was, at times, kind of like, you know, Chris Dickerson can put together an incredible round.
Oh, yeah.
And he always does. And he was there and you're like, okay, is this the time that Chris Dickerson finally puts it all together and wins a tournament? Not just puts together a couple of nice rounds and then comes up short. And he had the best in the world chasing him down. And he actually finally did it. And that was like, we've seen a ton of him coming from behind, having a crazy hot round off the chase card, like, and ending up a stroke short. And, you know, things like that. I know Chris Dickerson is a winner, and we've seen it plenty of times. But this was great because he actually fended off a red-hot Ricky Wysocki in his final round and came away with the win. And I was stoked for it. It was a lot of fun to watch.
Here's the Dickerson line. Dickerson is consistently very good. But this is a tournament where he was consistently great.
Yeah.
And we just haven't seen that. We've seen like so many glimpses of greatness from him.
Yeah.
Because that's where he's at. Like he's never someone with tons of errors ever. It's just making the big shots. I feel like he,
and when he gets hot, he gets really hot.
Oh, totally. I think he you know, maybe is like, I'm gonna play towards the odds here and there with shots, and I feel like either the odds worked well for him and he knew that he could hit shots better than he mm-hmm. could in the past. Or he said, you know what? If I want to win, I just need to run this.
I mean, here, I'll just read some of his stats here. At 91% fairway hits.
Wow.
You do that in a course, in courses like these, and you're going to be set up for greatness. And then, 95% C1X, which was 11th, I might add. But nonetheless, an incredible C1X. Like I would remove an appendage to be a 95% C1X putter.
Which one?
I don't care. You pick one. Just it could be any.
Right on.
I don't need oh sure. If I can putt left-handed, C1X.
Right, because that's the thing you lose
going forward.
You know it's your appendage, like in life.
Yeah,
not sure. Just disc golf.
It'll be fine.
Okay, right.
It'll be great. I'll be Chris Dickerson. It'll be awesome.
Into it.
Yeah. Can I keep my arm though, please?
Yeah. No, I'm not gonna take your arm away. I'm just saying if you did, because let's be honest, you're not gonna be that good. It's like, well, no, I take it back. Sorry. Via this conversation, you're not going to be that good. In life, you can get there. Like, once baby number four is like 18, or no, I take it back.
And I'm like
12. 60. 12. Good. I'm so excited for Robin to destroy like the MP or the MA40. You're gonna get there, or 60. Sorry,
yeah, MA 60.
Yeah, MA 60. Robin's gonna just run the table. He's gonna be like, all my children are out. Like, I can finally focus.
Everything I'm doing, I'm gonna build some little disc golfers.
I'm just saying, like, your ability to focus is obviously through this podcast and this particular podcast. Your ability to focus is way better than mine. I only have one child. You've got multiple, another one coming. I still don't have the ability to be like just really focused on things. You've always had that. So, you know, in 18 years,
mm-hmm.
Robin's going to do some work.
Yeah. Yeah. That's going to be great. Speaking of focus, back to the tournament.
Oh, good call.
Chris Dickerson, like we said, fending off Ricky Wysocki, who had put together like a pretty valiant effort and ended up, you know, coming up a few strokes short of Chris Dickerson. But in the end, Chris just kind of played perfect golf. He had like one mistake where he left it open, and Ricky had to really go for it at the very end, which is the result that he's showing as a bogey or a double bogey five or bogey five, sorry, on the final hole. But that was really just Ricky trying to run it,
right?
Because his only chance was to can it from like 100 and something feet. So
what I think Chris, 2 out of 4, if not 3 out of 4, had the hot round.
Yeah,
like it's real hard to move past that.
And then in third place, you got Paul McBeth, who, like, we keep having the is Paul McBeth washed up conversation over and over again, and it's been a joke for the majority of this podcast. It probably still is today, but he finished 8 strokes behind Ricky Wysocki and 11 strokes behind Chris Dickerson, the winner.
Well, that's the big thing, is like the difference between first and second and everyone else
was huge.
This is like,
this is a full field. So, I mean, you got Paul McBeth, you got Ricky Wysocki, you got Eagle McMahon, you got the whole deal. Like Calvin Heimberg's there. All of the big guns are at this tournament. There's no pulling punches or any like caveats to this. Like you can't say, oh well, Chris Dickerson won, but so and so wasn't here. No, Chris Dickerson took down the field. Like he took down the best of the best.
Oh yeah, he did,
and he was overdue. Like
he was. There's no part of me that would be like, I can't believe Chris Dickerson won.
No, like absolutely not. I think of it like, I can't believe this hasn't happened yet in a tournament like this.
I feel like if we go back to this time last year, we were like, Chris Dickerson's about to take everything from everyone.
Yeah.
Because his consistency, his skill set is so amazing that I'm kind of blown away, honestly, that it took it till now for him to really make that big push. Because I feel like he made lots of pushes last year, and the year prior coming up, he's great. He's so consistent. And like I said, he has all of the skill set. Like forehand, backhand, approach. If you've watched any GK Pro Skins matches, he always has some dirty throw in from somewhere. That's just what he does. It's just putting all together consistently.
Yeah, totally. Totally. And he's been there in all of these tournaments, and it's just finally getting, I guess not finally, because
he has wins, but
no, he has plenty of wins.
He does. He does.
It's just, it always seems like he's coming up just a hair short,
right?
But against the big boys,
they're playing well,
yeah. You know, he's won plenty of A tiers and things like that. But when it really comes down to the Disc Golf Pro Tour events and the NTs and stuff like that,
he's a road warrior, so he jumps around to tournaments that maybe aren't as,
yeah. I mean, he's got a USDGC win, going back in 2020, right? And, but when it comes down to those other, like Disc Golf Pro Tour events, a ton of seconds and a ton of thirds, and you're like, you see him, he surges at the end, and
you go to the Disc Golf Pro Tour Championships last year, like he had it in the bag and it fell out. Good for Kevin, but he had some putts that he missed that I would never have expected him to miss.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, he's fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. So good for Chris Dickerson. Like I loved watching it. It was a ton of fun, and he's such a great player. And he has the hottest possible rounds you can ever see in your whole life.
Consistently, but, though, and multiple times. Like I said, I think he had two or three out of all the rounds, the hottest round.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So you want to move forward to FPO?
Yes, let's do that.
All right. FPO. Haley King. This was like, I remember beginning of the season, I feel like this is super similar to the conversation we just had about Chris Dickerson.
1,000,000,000%.
And like all of the talent and the skill that we see.
Right. All the skills.
And just like not quite putting it together and having these incredible rounds where you see it and you're like, oh my God, this could be the best player
in
interdivision.
Yep, totally.
And then you see these rounds where just nothing is coming together and it wasn't quite right. And she even showed that in this tournament. But Haley King showed utter dominance.
Yep.
In the meantime.
Yeah, she did.
Just like having the round that she had in round three, where she shot 9 down with no bogeys. No bogeys.
That could be my home course, like, and I could play there every weekend for 8 years, and I will never throw a bogey-free 9 down.
But at the same time, she finished 7 down total over the course of the tournament. So, not quite the Chris Dickerson level performance where he dueled it out. She really like she had.
She rode her ups great and round downs to,
and rode
to the
her
house.
Great yep. round to a 1-stroke win over Sarah Hokum, and we expect Hokum to play well on a course like this. And
she
was
built for Hokum.
She much more consistent, you know, not the flashy 9 down rounds, but her rounds were far less volatile.
If Hokum is nothing else, it's consistent.
Yeah. So you know, Hokum shooting 1, 2, 3 down in every single round over the course of the tournament and ending up 6 down, you know, she was just, this is how she plays the game.
Yeah.
Like, this is what she does. And, you know, Haley King having that 9 down round and just really just jumping on that. Like, Sarah Hokum had a 4 down round in the final round to really make it tight for Haley King.
But. And that's unfortunately like that, you know, that harkens to the world that we live in, as you know, I'll start with saying far better than us in all facets, but in that sense where we talk about how we consider ourselves intermediate or advanced players is I can play the same 2 courses every day. And throw a 6-7 down at each of them and go there the very next day and throw an 8 up.
Yeah.
Like it's that consistency, and that's like the biggest gap that takes the top pros from aside from the fact that my 7-8 down on a great day is still 9 strokes short of a top pro, but it's inconsistencies, and that's unfortunately been a part of Haley King's game the entire time. You know, but utter brilliance will fight you through that, as we've seen.
I mean, she has those rounds where you're just like absolutely stunned, and like how does Haley ever
she will
lose?
Never lose to anyone, exactly. Yeah.
You know, with the awesome forehand and the putting ability, it's
big drive. She's top 5 distance easily.
Yeah, I'd say so.
FPO.
So yeah, but
I might say top 3, but I'm just I don't you know.
I mean, huge shout out to Sarah Hokum, just continuing to be in the battle all the time, and playing so consistently, especially in the woods like this. These are courses that are built for her.
Oh yeah,
and she just continues to excel.
She's a shot shaping wizard.
Yeah, I agree.
Or witch? No, is that a bad term?
I think wizard cover?
It does. All I think it does, because I think it's witch, warlock, and wizards in the middle.
Yeah,
I don't know my Harry Potter well enough, but yes, wizard.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I don't know my Harry Potter very well, or my wizard.
I think
gendering,
you know better than me, but I don't. I could. I mean, we could pause. I could call my wife. She could tell me real quick.
Okay. I mean, we could,
but I'm not going to do that. No. Because that'll turn into a 20-minute conversation that I don't need to
have. Let's
just
go with the fact that Sarah Hookham is a shot-shaping wizard and that's okay.
Yeah.
All right.
She's amazing at shaping shots, period.
Now, after that, we got Paige Pierce and Katrina Allen over par, might I add, at +3 and +5, whereas Kaylee King and Sarah Hookham -7 and -6, respectively. So
wow.
I never know what to make of the Paige Pierce and Katrina Allen thing. They can look so dominant and they can win and have their like streaks. I think we just have to come to the fact that we used to think that Paige Pierce was the level constant of performance.
Awesome, yeah.
And that Katrina Allen was the up and down roller coaster ride, like unbeatable when she's good and putting, and just like could be, you know, absolutely horrible if she's not. And while I do think she is more volatile than Paige Pierce, Paige has shown us that she doesn't necessarily deserve quite the accolade that we give her in terms of consistency.
Yeah.
And that she too just kind of like has some real duds that she mixes in.
Yeah.
It's tough to figure out.
I think it's beyond focus for both of them.
With Katrina, it's really easy because it's so obvious when she misses a 12-foot putt. Like you're just like, oh, there it is. Like,
or multiple.
Yeah, or multiple 12-foot putts. And it just, like, you know, Katrina had just gone through a stretch where she was making all of them and making the 35 and 40-footers too. Yep. And when you watch that, you're like, oh, damn. Like, she's unbeatable. She's driving, you know, 450-plus and then getting in the circle and banging those putts. And how do you beat this girl? And it's just
woman, but yeah,
tough to explain. And
but now we've got Paige who can drive 550, but multiple times has driven 550 out of bounds,
mm-hmm,
into awful places, bangs a 50-foot putt and then doinks a 12-foot putt.
Yeah.
Like, it's just inconsistencies across the board.
I think so too. And I think that the criticism that Katrina gets for her putting should probably be applied to Paige for her driving sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's not like when someone has a bad drive, it's often viewed as like bad luck, you know, like, oh, you hit that tree. Oh, you did that or whatever. And, you know, like, it's so much harder to do that. And, like, missing that putt at the very end is so much more visible. But Paige has had some kind of, you know, iffy shots.
Big power also means big shanks.
It can happen, yeah. So, you know, I just, like, you look at the other side of this and you see, we just saw, you know, Paul McBeth in his, you know, play okay kind of thing. It's a similar territory. Like, Paige Pierce and Katrina Allen shot over par and came in third and fourth place. And then you have, on the other side, you have Paul McBeth coming in third place, 10 strokes behind.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of like, wow, these are the people on the, you know, like,
this is the gold standard, or what we've decided to rank as the gold standard.
So it's interesting seeing that. And I don't know what it means going forward. And I assume that we'll see many other fantastic performances from Paige Pierce and Paul McBeth. But you're just kind of...
I do too. I just think the competition is consistently getting better. And I think that's, like, to be totally honest, I told you this, I think earlier this week, and I'm ready for it, but for a minute was like kind of a hard pill to swallow. It was like, we got these top tier, these dudes are the dudes, these ladies are the ladies, they'll always be on top, and it's mm-hmm. shifting hard and quickly.
I have a theory, and I think it's whenever you start a foundation as a sports person, you're probably in trouble. Like,
true.
Like, if you start a foundation, that means you've had a fantastic career and it's time for you to start, like, getting some tax benefits from.
Like, how many years has it been, like, Tiger Woods is, like, the man, and it's still, like, even in his old, well, prior injury, been, like, everyone compared to him, and it's like, he hasn't won a major in forever. Like, there's some young dudes doing work. Like, why are we still talking about this?
And let's be clear.
And I'm not saying that's the world of Ricky and Paul. I'm not at all. I don't mean that.
Let's be clear. Paul Macbeth can beat anyone on any day.
Oh, yeah.
But
he can also lose if he wanted to.
We are dealing with a whole new freaking level of disc golfers now, and it's getting fun. I like it.
And the Euros aren't even out yet. Like, it's about to get spicy.
Yeah, yeah. Have you looked at the match play lineups at all yet?
No. I was going to pretend yes, but no.
So Disc Golf Pro Tour match play. So it's bracket play, and we have. I'm sorry.
No, I'm being rude. Go ahead.
Did you have any final thoughts on?
No. We're good.
Green Mountain Championship.
Nope. Great courses. Great tournament. Great wins for the champions.
Yeah.
Lots of fun. I love it. Like, just a few more courses to add to our bucket lists. Like, I want to play all of those and be really sad inside when I play them, but I want to play them all.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So, match play, Disc Golf Pro Tour match play event. This is at Hellertown, Pennsylvania. Starting, like, probably now for those of you listening. But we have Colton Montgomery, 16 seed versus 1 seed Eagle McMahon. Adam Hammes, 8 seed versus 9 seed Ezra Aderholt. We have 13 seed Chris Dickerson versus Kyle Klein, 4 seed. Kyle Klein, 4 seed.
Yeah.
Y'all hear that?
Yeah.
Kyle Klein.
Y'all watch him this year? Makes sense.
Kyle Klein. Let's go. Garrett Gerthy, 12 seed, versus Kevin Jones, 5 seed. That's going to be interesting.
Oh, yeah. Okay, keep going. 11 all this.
Calvin Heimberg, 3 seed, versus Chris Clemens, 14 seed.
Just keep going.
Nicola Castro, 6 seed, versus Gavin Rathbun, 11 seed. Then we have Ricky Wysocki, 2 seed, versus Emerson Keith, 15 seed, and James Conrad, 7 seed, versus Joel Freeman, 10 seed.
Is Pompeth not playing?
I think he has the bye.
The bye?
To the Elite Eight.
All right, so this is what I want to do, Robin. I'm making this up right now. Let's go back and forth, matchup to matchup, just quick. Call your winner. No explanation, no whatever.
Maybe I need to look this up. Maybe Paul Macbeth is not doing his thing in this. All right.
Well, we know who's there, and let's just go with what that is, and then we can do the same thing with FPO. Okay. Do you want first matchup or second matchup?
Wait, what do you mean?
So what I'm going to say, I want you to go back to the top and say the first matchup. And one of us is just going to quickly say who
matchup
is
one
win.
Or two.
Yep.
I think Eagle McMahon takes matchup one.
Okay, what's the second matchup?
It is Hammes versus Aderholt.
I pick Hammes. Go next.
Okay. And next we have matchup three, Dickerson versus Klein. I'll take Klein.
Oh, good one. All right.
Then matchup four, we have Gerthy versus Kevin Jones.
I'll take Kevin Jones.
Okay. And then matchup five, Calvin Heimberg versus Clemens. I'm taking Heimberg. I think that's a no-brainer. Yep. Matchup six, Nicola Castro versus Rathbun.
I'm going to take Rathbun.
I like it. I like it. That's the first upset so far.
Yep.
Match seven, Wysocki versus Emerson Keith. I'm going to take Wysocki.
Yeah.
Match eight, we have Conrad versus Freeman.
I'm taking Conrad.
All right. I like it. And let me see this bracket because I feel like I'm missing something here.
I just don't know how. I think Macbeth is either not playing or he dipped out or whatever. Like, there's that list of pros. There's not a reason that Paul's not there unless he didn't get points because he didn't play enough or he dipped out.
Yeah, I think that's the case. I'm trying to look at it now and also not be a terrible podcast host. But yeah, it would appear that...
he's not playing.
Yeah.
And that's fine. And we'll just move past it. We don't need to dive into it. Do you want to go to FPO and do the same thing?
Yeah, I do.
I don't think you even need to like say them all first. Like, let's just...
All right, we'll do it that way. And scores.
Or it's not set up that way.
I guess not.
Okay.
This is the UDisc website. Never mind. Right.
Never mind. Who wins Match Play for GGPC?
Don't know why.
I don't know. We don't have the matchups aren't coming up for us. It might be a different.
So the FPO Match Play bracket is Paige Pierce versus Deanne Carey.
Okay,
I'll take Paige.
All right.
Next the next one. Matchup is Sarah Hokum versus Jessica Weiss.
I'm gonna take Hokum.
And next matchup, Missy Gannon versus Kona Panis. I will take Missy.
That's a good one. That's
and
a really good one.
I do. I like that one. And then the final matchup is Katrina Allen versus Haley King.
Ooh.
That's tough.
I'll go on a ledge. And I will. And it's not a ledge because she's awesome. I'll take Haley King.
And I apologize for our like delay on that. I have no idea why UDisc doesn't have it listed the same way for MPO and FPO. Like, I had to click over to the... to the Disc Golf Pro Tour version of the tournament site to find that, and thankfully I did instead of us just skipping
it.
But I'm not sure quite why that was.
Do we want to pick Ultimate Champions?
Okay, so
we don't have to. I'm just.
I know. I think it's a good idea. Okay. I like it. I think we're gonna get like a strange, just like. Katrina Allen beast performance. So I'll take Katrina in FPO.
I'm going to go a crazy, in that same boat. I'm going to go Hokum.
Okay. And in MPO, I think, you know what? I'm just going to ride the Kyle Klein.
God damn it. That's exactly where I was going. Exactly where I was going. I was like, Kyle Klein is going to just do all the work. So I should probably pick something different, huh?
You have to. So I got Katrina and Klein, and you are.
I'll go dirty. Kevin Jones back to back, take it all down.
Kevin Jones, okay.
But I wanted Kyle Klein. But yes, Kevin Jones.
All right,
Kevin Jones.
All right, sounds fun. So I got Klein and Katrina, and you have Jones and
Hokum.
Hokum. All right.
Oh.
Let's see.
Wow. I'm stoked. I'm pumped. It's all good. It's all good. I'm gonna win it all.
Sounds like it. Win wow. Wowzers. All right, you ready? You ready to do a deer review?
Indeed.
All right, it is time for our world famous deer review, our disc and beer pairing, where we take a disc, we take a beer, we review them both, and let you know whether you should bring it on the course. Tonight, we have the Streamline Drift, a 7-speed, 5-glide, -2 turn, 1 fade, fairway driver. And we're pairing that with Zombie Dust by Three Floyds Brewing Company, 6.5%. Pale Ale, sent to us by Christopher Eplin, CEP, one of our mods in the Slack group. Fantastic stuff. We love getting beer from other parts of the country. So fantastic Indiana Three Floyds Brewing Company. Where do you want to start, Joe? Disc or beer?
Let's start with a disc, just because I haven't had the beer yet. Actually, I'm going to take a sip real quick, and then I'll tell you.
All right. So the disc... Streamline Drift, we have it in Neutron plastic, and 173 grams, apologies. And this is fairway driver. Neutron plastic is fantastic.
Yeah, we love it.
And it's, you know, got a nice grip to it. Certainly, you know, fairway driver rim feels pretty kind of like, I don't know, T-birdie sort of feel to it, like with the rim and the dome to it. But
yeah,
certainly a lot more understable than that.
Right. I mean, for the numbers, it feels similar, but not as FDE. Like, I feel like FDs that I've thrown have a little more dome. It's a pretty flat disc.
Do you feel like this is a true minus two?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. No. It's not a cop out, I promise. The numbers are pretty damn correct.
All right.
In my opinion, I threw it with a fresh S-line FD, but by fresh, I mean whatever, a year or two ago where they did like the new Jackal stamps, and those are pretty darn beefy for what they are. And I actually also threw it with a 12-time Eagle, just another 7-speed, more stable, and it kind of just was in line with all of those throws every time. So Eagle, little flip up straight finish, the FD, once again, like a much more stable FD, flip up, turn a little bit, come back. And this was flip up, turn over, and maybe come back. So I like my biggest distance throws were high, give it time to turn over, hook up, and come back. Need a lot of room to come back, but it definitely held that turnover for a decent amount of time. But in that same world, like when I had that big turnover, come back, blah, 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 the hyzer flip with an Eagle was like the same distance. Mm-hmm. So it didn't go epic distance the way that, and I'll be totally honest and transparent. I didn't have my Glow FD on me or a regular S-Line FD, but I know that the glide of those, just all the field work I've done, the way it threw, like it didn't push as far as those would have.
The other thing is that Joe and I threw these discs totally separately. So normally right. We field work together. In this case, we had to do it separately just due to our own schedules. And yay, this is
post-COVID work.
This is me, like, when I see a disc like this, I'm like, ooh, 7-speed, 5-glide, minus 2. All right. We got ourselves a glidey turnover disc. Let's see what she can do. And I wanted it to turn more. I wanted it to be more understable than it was with the glide. Like, I couldn't quite get it to do exactly what I wanted. It worked, but Joe likes to throw hyzer flips.
Right. I was like, if you get a lot of air, you can, but it doesn't push forward like an FD does. Like, yeah. It doesn't have the extra glide to just get you out that little bit
and
more.
And I like to throw hyzer flips too, and I frequently do. But when I get like an understable disc that has glide, I like to try and see what I can do with like a really kind of, give it a lot of air, give it a lot of power, you know, put it out to the left and let it ride. Type of thing, and
just ran out of gas a little bit.
That might
be the glide. That might be,
and
I don't know.
That being said, the hyzer flip up the middle shots worked great.
Yeah,
and I liked them quite a lot. But I'm an FD guy. I've been for a long time, and I just there wasn't a huge difference for me in that. And the discs in these sorts of categories that really, intrigue me are the ones that I can get those big, true turnover lines with. That's why I was saying, do you really think it's a minus two? I think it's a minus 1.5.
Yeah, I mean, I feel the two. So granted, the field that I throw on, we threw different places, but the field that I throw on that we've thrown many discs on has a pretty decent, like, dependent the way you're throwing, headwind versus tailwind.
Yeah.
So in the tail, it was kind of flip up a little bit, turn, come back, but in the head was like turnover, not come back.
Yeah.
So like I said, the way that I got my biggest distance was a couple of times.
Joe throws farther than me.
Also, but not on purpose, like putting up really high. And it would turn over and it would come back, but Where it came back was still wider than I would have wanted. So I do think it's that minus two. I got similar distance to like Eagles and more the Eagle. The FD that I threw was too stable, I think, to be like in line with it. But it was equidistant-ish to the Eagle, but the Eagle was like a flip-up laser beam hookup. And for this to get the same distance, it was like kind of a gross flip, turnover, run out of gas, and hookup.
Mm-hmm.
So it needed tons of room. So I do think it is that minus two, but it's like hard to get it there just because you need lots of room to make it work.
Yeah. I do like the feel of it, and I like
of course you do.
Dome.
That's Robin World.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
And Neutron Streamlined Plastic is amazing.
Very much so. But ultimately, I mean, should we get to beer?
Yeah.
All right, so we have Zombie Dust by Three Floyds Brewing Company. This is out of Indiana, and 6.5% alcohol pale ale. I mean, 6.5% alcohol pale ale is like, come on, Joe, you gotta appreciate.
Oh,
this.
I love it. I mean, it's in that Dale's World that I love, and this the reason you hear my laugh off of mic was because I maybe started talking into the beer and on the mic, but don't worry about it. it's in that Dale's World, but it might be like a little, I don't want to say cleaner. It's different, but it's in a similar world. And if you go back to our Dale's Pale Ale, review, it's amazing. Like, so I'll say grew up, cause really early 20s is growing up in Chico, in Sierra Nevada country. Like the pinnacle of pale ale for that time in the world, and maybe still in this world. I love Sierra Nevada pale ale, and there was a long time that was what I based every pale ale off of. Was how does it rank towards Sierra Nevada? If you've heard our review of Dale's, it kind of took that over too, as the pinnacle pale ale. And this is right there.
Yeah.
This is right there with
Dale's. Yeah, no, this is better, I think. I think this is, I would gladly take this over Sierra Nevada Pale Ale any day.
Well, no, I'm saying I'm versus Dale's.
Oh, Dale's too.
I think so too.
This is so smooth. It's got like a nice, like light caramel malt, like finish to it, but it's not a heavy flavor at all. And before that, you get like these wonderful soft like fruity flavors to
exactly
it
are, there's a big fruity hop nose on it, like it's
yeah.
rad.
Uh-huh. And there it's like a nice like crisp hop flavor harp.
right
crisp hop flavor to it that it just comes out like a little bit of lemon, a little bit of like citrus in there, like it is a very, very crisp pale ale, and then it finishes with like kind of the lightly sweet, like caramely malt, but it's not overpowering at all, and it doesn't taste boozy given that it's 6.5%. I really love this.
No, and if you dive in,
smash these all day.
If you dive in with the nose too, you can get a little bit like, I want to call it like syrupy. It's a little like, ooh, it holds yeah. on to you, but you drink it, it's not there.
Yeah.
It's not there.
I mean, it's kind of overall like a thin, like it's not a
well,
thick.
Well, here, I'll peel the curtain back a little bit. These are not ice cold.
No.
We've been hanging on these for a minute, and I guarantee any of that syrup, even that on the nose bit that I talk about, just a little bit colder, that's gone. This is a fantastic beer.
Yeah.
Like, I am so stoked that CEP sent this. I saw it and was like, oh, Three Floyds, we're reviewing that one because I know they're a good brewery. And that was the right move.
Yep. Yeah. All right. So where do you stand, Joe?
I mean, I got Jackalopes and
mm-hmm.
FDs. So the Drift ain't jumping in. Great plastic. Love the disc. We always talk about this world too. This is a disc that I could pick up if I'm out of town and I want to play disc golf and I have something, I could pick this up. No problem. Know exactly what I'm doing. Feel great with it.
Agree.
But it's not going to go in my bag just because I've got comparable things that I love and
I
cherish.
I think for me, the disc stands in a place where I wanted it to be more understable. So it's like in that like...
Once again, this is brand new, fresh Neutron.
True.
But also like, streamlined doesn't
like,
beat in...
I have this range. Like I want a... Like I don't want the in-between. I want like a... I want to know I'm turning it over big time, or I want to know that I can hyzer flip it and trust it. And this falls right in between.
It does. And that's a world like, because like I said, I threw it with like a brand new quote unquote Jackal FD. It was less stable than that, but it wasn't like
crazy.
I could go dive into my bag for my old S line FD and know and trust that more. Uh-huh. With that said, like you put some work into it, and this will be a beautiful disc. But
you put
a lot of work into a lot of FDs, so I don't think you need to do that.
Yeah.
If you don't own an FD, this is actually probably a great place to start.
Yeah.
You could build this in exactly what you want, and I think it'll probably keep that little bit of turn longer than maybe an OG S line because some of them beat up real quick.
Yeah.
The beer, great.
Yeah,
we've got two more of these, and we're gonna put them on ice and save them for disc golf rounds because, or we're gonna drink them tonight. Yeah, we're probably gonna drink them tonight if I'm being honest. But I wish we'd save them for a disc golf. Anyway, fantastic.
Agreed.
I will drink all this beer all the time, and I know Three Floyds is starting to get out there, and if I can find this regularly, this will go into the regular rotation.
Yeah, absolutely. So we are 2 for 4. We're both in on the beer. The disc, we like it, but not gonna crack the bag.
Yeah.
So.
Well, also this is a 174, by the way, too. So
173.
173. So it's close to max weight.
Yeah.
I'm sure we got people like I throw 166 and it turns over anyway. So 2 out of 4.
Daniel Jones.
Oh, gosh. We don't need to go there because he played a great game. No, I think this is the chance that I pick Paul McBeth to win a tournament again for the next few years.
Oh, come on. You're going to do that.
Like, I've done it so much, and he's burned me so much. I think he's burned. I don't know. Of course, I love Paul McBeth.
Yeah.
But he just he hasn't put it all together for a full tournament in a minute.
You know, the day that disc golf like truly ascends to the national culture level will be when I type Macbeth in my phone and it doesn't autocorrect to Macbeth, as in Shakespeare.
That's an Apple thing. Android, I'm already there.
I'm waiting for that. I mean, I could program it to not do that.
Well, I don't have to. Mine just like knows me and loves me and just goes with it.
So yeah.
Android just, thing, you know. Yeah. More intuitive,
you
more
Android
there for
people.
You.
Goodness gracious.
Oh, gosh. Fun story to wrap things up. Everyone I work with have Apple phones.
Yeah, I mean, everyone you know.
And
you
we've
should,
got...
You should just like...
Right, well, exactly. So there are multiple
think of all the things you're missing out
there's,
on.
There's group, there's group little... chats that I've been basically kicked out of because it fucks everything up.
But well, also care. That you don't comment in them and then they, you know. So like, it fucks everything up for everybody, but you also don't comment very often, so...
You know I'm not in that one anymore, right? Because I had an Apple phone for... I'm not in that one.
I know that. But before that, you didn't either.
Well, it's also part of it is because I don't get like the majority of the messages to like weird other
because
times.
You have a trash can phone and nobody can get your messages.
My phone's the best.
Yeah, okay.
My phone's the best. Y'all just don't know what's up.
When you post a video, it shows up like a little tiny like fingernail.
Oh, that's what I get from iPhone, so it's all good. Like it's, you know, it's the... It's
yeah, no, there's definitely nothing you could do to improve the situation.
It's definitely not Apple that has like we only use these formats.
No, it's definitely two big. It's huge definitely companies.
Not like that. Everybody else is like these formats are great across the board, and Apple's like, nope, only our format.
Yeah, it's definitely not two different companies that are both fighting each other for market share, and you probably shouldn't have an allegiance to one of them. Strangely,
it's cheaper. Be honest, it's fucking hella cheaper. Fucking like a lot cheaper.
There you go.
All right, I'm cheap. All right. I'll take that over like allegiance for no reason. That's why I love PCs too. Fuck. Well, let me spend a third for a just as powerful shit. Love it. Into it. I ain't got that money. I ain't got that Apple money.
Oh, I work
nonprofit. You want to wrap it up? Love you.
All right, that's all we got for this episode of the Disc Golf Podcast. Please check us out on our website, throwstuffstuff.com. You can join our Slack group. There's a join Slack link in the main navigation. Best disc golf community ever. You won't regret it. Throwstuffstuff.com. Join Slack. Check it out. You'll have a great time. Patreon.com/TheDiscGolfPodcast. Become a Patreon subscriber. Get access to our pre-show recordings. In this case, it's going to be an after-show recording because we recorded the main show first. But
oh, yeah, shit.
But
sorry. Woo!
But we'll get after that, I promise you. So you basically get an extra episode every single week by being a Patreon subscriber. So do that. Patreon.com/TheDiscGolfPodcast. Throw to 5 stars on iTunes, Apple Podcasts,
because anywhere you
that's
listen
the
to
only
podcasts.
Place that people look at reviews.
Well, I mean, we're
things.
Everywhere. We're so. Everywhere. Spotify, we're there.
Yeah, but nobody looks at that.
I don't know.
I'm just kidding, people. I'm just kidding. I'm giving Joe all kinds of trouble because he would rather have like a cardboard box phone than like join the rest of us and have fun. But it's fine. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pocket Casts, you know, yeah, there's all kinds of fun stuff out there. You do you. Throw 5 stars and get out there this weekend and throw stuff at stuff.
This is a song for the aceless. For those with aces, listen closely. You don't always have to huck it hard. In fact, sometimes that's not right to do. Sometimes you got to lay it up and fucking outrun an ace or two. Sometimes you got to ease if you wanna put the D's in the B's. Sometimes you got to say, hey, I'm gonna throw it softly. I'm gonna huck it gently. I'm gonna flick it smoothly. I'm gonna toss it so sweetly. And then you say, hey, I hit some metal. Then you say, wait a minute, Robin, I think I'm starting to get it now. Could you feel my throw for me? That's fucking teamwork. What's your favorite disc? That's cool with me. It's not a trespass, but I guess it works for you. What's your favorite beer? The only answer is an IPA. So let's go to the bar. And then I'm gonna flick it so sweetly. And then I'll fucking hook it softly. And then I'll fucking throw it perfectly. But then I'm gonna hook it.